The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but in the midst of a pandemic and a crashing economy and politicians arguing about who is at fault, you wonder, how should we pray? Well, my friend, you should just pray for everybody, but let me make a very specific prayer suggestion. I would hope that along with everyone else whose health you're praying for, especially these days, you will include President Trump and Vice President Pence, not simply because they need your prayers in their own right. They do. But also because of who is in line to become president should anything happen to both of them. And that, my friend, should hit you like lightning, leaving a cold chill of terror and horror that Boris Karloff, Vincent Price, and Alfred Hitchcock combined would have been unable to produce. Yes, we should also prayerfully lift up Nancy Pelosi. I wouldn't want to see her as president, but I'm serious. Let's pray for her. However, I don't mind including in my prayers that I just as soon she spend the rest of her long, healthy life outside of Washington. Fiddler on the Roof comes to mind. Rabbi, tell me, is there a blessing for the Tsar? A blessing for the Tsar? Why, of course. May God bless and keep the Tsar far away from us. And have you heard this one from the enchanting woman? Nancy Pelosi says there should be no return to normalcy until coronavirus is eradicated. Really? I thought we were supposed to just flatten the curve. And then after that, they say, well, we have to wait till we get a vaccine. She wants it eradicated. There's never a time where a disease is completely eradicated 100%. That could, or maybe, but it would take years. And we're not going to return to normal. Why? So that we can have these draconian measures. Let's listen to this again. There should be no return to normalcy until coronavirus is eradicated. Great. Then why don't you just resign as Speaker of the House? The normal you have established in that chamber of horrors is the kind of normal that should be the first thing to go. Honestly, the House Democrats are a greater threat right now than the forthcoming election. This is because of the amount of damage they can cause before the next election. That's not to say that Joe Biden hasn't also been in the news. He has. Or at least he keeps trying to be. He's pulling out all the stops in an attempt to stay in our minds, if only things stayed in his mind. That's right. It's time for another Joe Biden update.
Why you text Sanders? Why? You're getting nervous, man.
And Corn Pop was a bad dude. And he ran a bunch of bad boys.
I'm not sedentary. I get up and no, let him go. Let him go. Look, the reason I'm running is because I've been around a long time and I know more than most people know. And I can get things done. That's why I'm running. And you want to check my shape on? Let's do push-ups together, man. Let's run. Let's do whatever you want to do. Let's take a few steps.
Have you been to a caucus? No, you haven't. You're a blind dog faced pony soldier. You said you were.
Make sure the television, make sure you have the record player on at night, the phone.
And so he was up on the board, wouldn't listen to me. I said, hey, Esther, you, off the board, or I'll come up and drag you off.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by the thing. Poor kids are just as bright and just as talented as white kids.
I'm beginning to see why your wife left you.
And he cut off a 6-foot length of chain. He folded up. He said, you walk out with that chain. And you walk to the car and say, you may cut me, man, but I'm going to wrap this chain around your head.
If you agree with me, go to Joe 30330 and help me in this fight. Thank you very much.
It's amazing that brain can generate enough power to keep those legs moving.
Well, anyway, former President Obama finally endorsed Biden. How did he do this with a straight face? Did you see Biden and Bernie on TV together a couple of weeks ago now? Watching Biden and Bernie interact with insightful quips and banter for the camera reminds me of the grouchy old men in the balcony of the Muppet Show, with one exception. Given a choice, I would prefer either balcony Muppet as president. If not them, Kermit or Miss Piggy would do. Heck, I would even throw in my lot with Fozzie Bear, Benson Honeydew, or Beaker. That's not to say this preference is exclusive to the Muppets. I do not vote with single-minded tunnel vision. Hey, I'm an open-minded guy. I'd also cast my vote for a box of Cracker Jack before Biden or Bernie. Other preferred candidates? A clipped toenail, stucco, pond moss, used gum, a 3-day-old banana peel, a toadstool, a dehydrated Brussels sprout. Now, I keep hearing about how people are looking forward to the debate between Joe Biden and President Trump. Don't hold your breath. Chances are it will never happen. I hope I'm wrong. Oh, I hope I'm wrong, because it would be the most entertaining event since Bambi meets Godzilla. But fun anticipation put aside, assuming Democrats don't talk Joe into releasing his delegates at the convention in order to bring in an 11th hour replacement, their only hope is in his VP pick. They are counting on their voting base to use their imaginations and figure Uncle Joe will step down soon after he takes office. Ergo, you are really voting for the vice presidential nominee. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Of course, that only works if Uncle Joe actually wins. And in order to accomplish this, one important threshold will be the presidential debates. Oh, sure, he'll get help from the impartial mainstream media moderator. Question for Trump. Mr. Trump, would you be willing to admit right now in front of the nation that you are single-handedly responsible both for the coronavirus and the tanking of the economy? Question for Biden. Mr. Biden, which do you have a greater problem with, Trump's racism or Trump's xenophobia? And yet, let's face it, all the help in the world will not stop the inevitable. Sooner or later in this debate, Joe Biden will have to actually say something. This is the bottom line. This is what his campaign handlers absolutely dread. They know they won't deserve a single penny of their salary if they let this huckleberry utter even one word. Well, one word is okay. It's only after two words, possibly three, that Joe runs into trouble. For this reason, I predict the following. Biden's campaign releases a statement that Joe will not be participating in any debates. Why? The reckless behavior, evil character, and mismanagement of President Trump is so obvious to the American people that Joe Biden does not need to debate him. Trump's racist, colonialist agenda will not even be graced with a response. Again, I could be wrong, and I hope I am. Oh, I would bring up the popcorn and sour Skittles for this one. Although, even if the debate happens, it could still be a problem. Joe might be a little confused as to what's actually going on. He'll probably think that he and Trump together are performing on a Jerry Lewis telethon, wondering all evening when Jerry's going to finally show up. Yes, it is fun to talk about Joe's lovable antics. Many pundits talk about his gaffes. For myself, and I've said this before, I'm far more concerned about his lies. He has been a pathological liar for most of his political career, but maybe you're not sure when a politician is lying. No worries, my friend. First guess, how do you know when the politician is lying? His lips are moving. All right, now that's an old joke. It's often true, but it's old. No, actually, today's lesson is even easier than that. Joe Biden just made a comment about Trump supporters last week. Now, there are millions and millions of Trump supporters. So he's painting a lot of people with one brush. Here are the actual words of our potential Democratic nominee. They really support the notion that, you know, all Mexicans are rapists and all Muslims are bad and dividing the nation on ethnicity, race. My friends, just answer for yourselves. Are you a Trump supporter? Some of you listening right now are Trump supporters. Are you a Trump supporter? If so, do you believe all Mexicans are rapists? As a matter of fact, are you a Hispanic who voted for Trump, as so many Hispanics did in 2016? Are you a Hispanic Border Patrol agent who supports Trump, as so many other Hispanic border agents did? Well, then, to any Trump supporter listening right now, you know right off the bat that Joe Biden is simply lying, right? Joe may not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but even he knows this is a lie. If he's listened to Trump, he's heard the context of his remarks. If he hasn't listened and is merely repeating talking points, he knows he's relaying information he never examined himself. Either way, he's lying. But look, why don't I just go ahead and take the test myself? I also voted for Trump. I do not believe all Mexicans are rapists. I do not believe all Muslims are bad. I do believe all people are sinful, including myself. Oh, and Joe, something you may want to memorize before your campaign unlocks the shed and allows you to speak again. Islam is a religion, not a race, a religion. Not all Muslims are from the Middle East. There are American Muslims, French Muslims. People of all nationalities convert to Islam. Oh, sure, Biden will walk this back in a day or two and clarify that he didn't mean every single Trump supporter. Until then, allow me to clarify something in the name of speaking out against dividing the nation based on race. Biden is dividing the nation based on race. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
You only need to listen to this radio program once to figure out that Bob has very strong opinions on a wide variety of issues. But one of Bob's strongest passions is freedom of speech itself, even when such speech challenges his own convictions. So feel free to send Bob a comment or a thought-provoking question. You can reach Bob on Facebook, Twitter, or questions at bobsiegel.net.
When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development,
that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. WisdomWorksChristianPreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
The Bob Siegel Show, our theme, Christianity and its relationship to politics and pop culture. As you know, many of the people who follow this radio show also follow me on Facebook. I am about to talk to my Christian Facebook friends. It will also apply to my Christian friends out in Radio Land. And if you're not a Christian, of course, you're still welcome to listen in. I'm not assuming it wouldn't apply to you in some ways. I'm merely pointing out who I'm addressing. And here's why. Lately on Facebook, I'm seeing a lot of well-intentioned posts. They're being circulated, words of concern, written in the form of letters. The letters are scribed by dedicated Christians who feel a need to challenge other committed believers, brothers and sisters who, in their minds, are overreacting to the government-mandated shutdowns, most specifically, the cessation of church services in exchange for regulated quarantine. These messages are obviously well-meaning. They read like loving rebukes, calling on the body of Christ to grow up and realize that any proper reading of Scripture portrays a God who expects us to obey our government, especially since social distancing, shelter-in-place orders are not really treating Christians any differently than other Americans. Indeed, the more Christians complain, the more they are being a bad witness. What is the big deal, they ask? If we are unable to gather on Sunday for a very temporary period of time, lives are at stake. We must mitigate this coronavirus and flatten the curve, as our president's team of skilled, experienced scientists and doctors have recommended. What does it hurt if we can't get together in a large building? The church is not a building anyway. The church is the body of Christ. Didn't Jesus say, wherever two or more of you are gathered in my name, I am in the midst of you? God's church is everywhere. When we meet on Zoom, the teaching is no less inspirational and the prayers are no less effective. And so the admonishment goes. I wish to respond. I'm about to respond. I already responded on Facebook before I also respond on the radio. If you're listening right now, realizing that you yourself wrote such a letter on Facebook, please relax. I'm not upset with you. Neither am I thinking of you specifically or any other single person. Many, many, many such posts are circulating on Facebook. Chances are yours was not even amongst the ones I read. In any event, I have no doubt whatsoever that these posts were written sincerely. The motive was to express concern in a loving way. The motive was to help. That is the tone I am seeing. I am taking such words in the spirit they were obviously intended. Now, in that vein, the purpose of my response right now is not to strike up a debate. There's a place for debate. I do it all the time on this radio show. There's a place for debate, but not at this moment. Instead, I wish to establish a framework for future discussion, a guideline for the exchange of differing viewpoints in an atmosphere of mutual respect. Since I am convinced that Christians on both sides of this matter love God and strive to do the right thing, I would like to clarify where I and others like me are coming from. I am certain everyone listening right now is just as eager to clarify where they are coming from. Often when people listen, I mean really listen to each other, they discover that they agree far more than they realized. The modicum of leftover disagreement seems more palatable afterwards. After celebrating what unites us, contrarian opinions need not threaten us. And so, let us do away with myth and replace it with clarification. Truth be told, many of us are more interested in people understanding our thoughts than embracing our thoughts. We all need to be heard. I can easily accept that you might disagree with me, but I do not wish to be falsely represented. Neither do you. The statements which follow, the statements I'm about to make, I believe all Christians can agree with, regardless of what actions they may feel God is calling them to, or in some cases not calling them to, during this unique time of history we share together. And I'm going to start off each statement with the word agreed. Agreed. One can pray, trust in God, have faith, know that God is sovereign, that he will have his way, that all things work together for good, and still be mindful of the spiritual warfare around us, our own role in carrying out God's work, our responsibility to carefully monitor our religious liberty, a liberty which the Bible says is conducive to the spreading of the gospel. Trusting God but acting as a watchman are not mutually exclusive practices. Agreed. Those who choose to speak in the face of perceived danger are not necessarily calling for civil disobedience. One stance does not immediately translate into the other. Agreed. Bible verses such as Romans 13 do command us to obey the government, but we also acknowledge incidents of Scripture where God's people are called to disobey. Daniel chose to pray even when the king of Persia issued a decree forbidding prayer, and Daniel was living in Persia. Peter and John were dragged before the authorities and instructed to no longer preach the gospel out in the streets. They refused. They openly expressed their refusal before the court. These stories do not contradict Romans 13. The same Apostle Paul who penned Romans was himself jailed. He was eventually executed because he would not refrain from speaking out. Paul would be the last one to encourage Christians to compromise their faith. However, he did not want them rebellious either. There were many sensible protections under ancient Roman law. Christians were to obey such laws short of denying Christ. Today in California, the speed limit is 65 miles per hour. I may feel that's a stupid law, especially if I'm driving on an open freeway late at night. But guess what? My Christian convictions are not compromised by obeying the speed law. If I were told to stop sharing Christ or ordered to discontinue a conscience-driven biblical position on certain social issues, that would be another matter. Agreed. Indeed, church is not a building. Church services can be held anywhere, even online, even at the beach, even in the woods. I preached my very first sermon at a small church service held in the beautiful Santa Cruz Mountains outdoors. We can agree that for a few weeks to a few months, being away from a literal church building is probably not the end of the world. It does not short-circuit our relationship with God. But choosing to go along with these present edicts does not make the Constitution suddenly evaporate. Certainly one can argue that a temporary suspension of church gatherings imposes no restriction on true heartfelt worship, but it does restrict a guaranteed First Amendment freedom, the right of assembly. Yes, our Constitution allows for extenuating circumstances. So does God. So does the Bible. The $50 million question asks how much longer such circumstances will persist, and how honestly extenuating they will continue to be. Should it go on for an indefinite period of time, who would not agree that the situation must be reassessed and reevaluated? That is a discussion for the near future. Meanwhile, the discussion is not over in the present. Can we not also agree that not everyone has access to Zoom meetings? Some, including many of our senior citizens, seldom use the internet. Some don't even own computers or smartphones. While it's fine to say that virtual church is every bit as spiritual as geographical church, not everyone has access to this new reality. A lot of people are being left out. The Bible commands them not to neglect meeting together. As for the idea of churches meeting in homes, that sounds great. Love meeting in homes. But at the moment, families are being told to shelter in place. And while outdoor church services can certainly be rejuvenating, many states and counties have closed down their public beaches, their parks, their national forests. So yes, the church can meet anywhere. But it becomes a problem if we are being quarantined everywhere. I am not insisting on a specific solution, but surely we can at least agree that there's a problem. Agreed. We can acknowledge that presently, in most of the country at least, churches are not being singled out. We can also agree that this current paradigm could easily serve as a template for the future, an excuse to curtail religious freedom. Evangelicals are all too familiar with the anti-Christian agenda on the left and their track record for exploiting a crisis, a Trojan horse whose aim is to eradicate any breath of thought which contradicts political correctness. In some parts of the country, we already see inconsistencies. In Mississippi, people were not allowed to even meet for a drive-in church service, but drive-through fast food and drive-through liquor stores were permitted. Nobody could explain in any satisfactory way why one was allowed and not the other. Neither could they show how being in one's own car got in the way of social distancing. True, the double standard toward churches is not going on everywhere. In fact, it's not even going on in most places. But yes, it is going on. Some will choose to view such confusing incidents as a mere hiccup in the system, an aberration that will self-correct in due time. Others see it as a sign of things to come. Both opinions are legitimate at the moment. Our country has never gone through anything like this. An entire nation virtually shut down for a pandemic. No one knows how it will turn out. Many feel optimistic. Many others see a need for sobering caution, a yellow light at the very least. Time will tell. Hindsight is always 20/20. Until then, it is understandable that people will interpret the situation through their own personal filters. Throughout history, Christians have responded differently in the face of adversity or perceived adversity. They always have. They always will. We must extend each other some grace. We don't need uniformity to have unity. It is not one size fits all with God. In the Bible, he calls us to a variety of gifts, a variety of ministries. Some are involved with dynamic intercession and prayer ministries. Others are called to counsel, and they do it with encouragement and hope. Still others are called to be like Jeremiah the prophet, who sat on the city gate where people could hear a message of warning from him as they walked by. Agreed. Conspiracy theories are useless and must always be avoided. Conspiracy theories should also be properly defined. They are assumptions and speculations about so-called devious, secret, backhanded actions going on behind the scene. But actual lawsuits and judicial rulings against Christians who stood by their convictions, or literal public promises and threats by politicians and candidates running for office warning Christians to get with the times and change their viewpoints, my friends, those are not conspiracy theories. They are news. Responses from Christians are appropriate and do not meet the threshold of conspiracy theory. They are instead justified expressions of concern about what really has been said, what really has been done, and where it might lead if a line is not drawn in the sand. Agreed. Those who suggest that certain government officials enjoy their new power, may not wish to give it up so easily, are not claiming that the same will be true of all positions of leadership, of all politicians. State by state and city by city, we see variations. The variations can be acknowledged. The constant moving of the goalpost in some states and counties before public life can be allowed to return to normal must also be acknowledged. Agreed. One can accept that the coronavirus pandemic is real, dangerous, not a hoax, but still conclude that certain politicians are exploiting the danger and exaggerating the danger. Agreed. Doctors, as a general rule, are a respected profession. This does not mean that once a doctor speaks, the discussion is automatically over. The medical profession can be quite fluid. Doctors disagree with each other constantly, and doctors all over the country are in disagreement over how to handle this coronavirus. History has provided profiles of doctors with pure motives and doctors quite sinister with ulterior motives. We have seen the gamut run from Dr. Stanley Livingston to Dr. Joseph Mengele. In current time, we can presume the sincerity of Trump's medical team without being afraid to call out mistakes. They have admitted to many mistakes themselves anyway. Well, thank you for lending an ear. You will continue to hear very controversial radio shows and see very controversial articles and very controversial Facebook posts. This current discourse was offered as a rest stop, an oasis, if you will, or a reset button, a chance to stretch, breathe deeply, and appreciate the richness of various callings. Be well, my friends, my brothers, my sisters. I hope you can experience some refreshment now from a song that was designed to give hope and courage in the midst of a raging sea storm. Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Looking for a place where you can be yourself without having to act more spiritual than you really are? Looking for a church where you can have the dynamics of a large worship service, but the intimacy of a small group? Why not try Skyline Church, located in Rancho San Diego by 94 in Hamasha? I know you'll enjoy the preaching. You can also get to know people through a midweek small group. And for those who want to dig deeper into the Bible, a whole series of classes are offered on Sunday mornings. I teach one of them myself, Forbidden Table Talk, same name as my column, a time to bring up any Bible-related question at all. I would love to see you there. Now, I'm not saying Skyline doesn't have other good classes that you could take as an alternative to mine. I'm just saying don't take any of those. Take Forbidden Table Talk. Actually, you'll enjoy any experience you choose at Skyline Church.
Skyline Church.
96.1 FM, 1170 AM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. The United Nations is set to run out of money by the end of the year. Why, this is moving me close to tears. And who? The World Health Organization has certainly been in the news, smack in the midst of China's culpability, kind of a China apologist, this organization. I have two back-to-back quotes to read from you. Here's the first one, and this one comes from China. The head of WHO has stated many times that there is no evidence that the new coronavirus originated in the laboratory. Zaya Lihan, CCP Foreign Ministry spokesman of China. Next quote, I categorically corroborate his words. Let me personally assure you, I know my boy, and my boy never lies. Geppetto. Hey, just wondering, will the mask edict be over by fall? If not, the only thing normal in October will be Halloween. Meanwhile, RV sales should be going through the roof. People can travel all they want and obey the shelter-at-home decree at the same time. And now, yet another lesson in politics from your old pal, Bob. Democratic talking points, past, present, and future. Winter. Trump is overreacting to the coronavirus threat by closing down travel from China because he's a racist and a xenophobe. Spring. Trump hasn't acted severely enough to stop the coronavirus threat. How dare he talk about opening up the economy when people are dying? He needs to be shamed into listening only to the doctors and not the economists. Fall. Campaign slogan. Trump tanked the economy. See how it works? While law-abiding citizens are ordered to shelter at home because of the coronavirus, convicted criminals in some states are being released from prison. Yeah, because of the coronavirus. Have no fear. They're not allowed to roam free. They, too, are under orders to shelter down in a home. Hopefully not your home. But you can count on them to obey the order. After all, these guys have demonstrated such a respect for the law. Surely they'll comply. In any event, ankle monitors will keep them in line. Never mind the concurrent to their release. Police protection is also being scaled back. Why? Social distancing, silly. Honestly, people are making far too much of this. Those released are low-level, non-violent offenders. Well, except for that guy released in Florida who has since been arrested again for second-degree murder. Yeah, sure, you're going to bring that one up. Dems and MSM freaked out over Trump's signature on stimulus checks. Of course, Pelosi's engraved name on personalized pens handed out as gifts during the signing of Trump's impeachment papers. Well, that's perfectly fine. Democrats aren't expected to make sense. They're only expected to make noise. Instead of working with Republicans to add more money for small businesses who had been ordered to close up temporarily and will likely fold up for good without assistance, Nancy Pelosi allows a recess of Congress until May. No worries. You can take this one to the bank. She promises to return earlier if an emergency arises. If an emergency arises, she'll come back to Washington. Now, in her defense, there are situations that qualify more as an emergency than the potential collapse of our economy and its health hazards that would far surpass the coronavirus. One that comes to mind offhand is having this woman as Speaker of the House. Let's look at the small business situation in more detail. This is a poll taken by The Hill 4320 toward the beginning of this month. Almost one in four small businesses are 2 months or less away from closing permanently. Okay, again, that was roughly half a month ago. I'm sure you can imagine on your own how much worse it must be by now. President Trump has been trying to help during this time, knowing those businesses were closed down because they were ordered to by various state and city governments. They had no choice. And in an already passed an already signed bill. Money was offered and given to small businesses through loans or grants, depending on employers keeping their employees. But not without Democrats first trying to stuff that bill with so much pork, it would make a luau blush. Thankfully, a lot of what they wanted in there never got through. Some of it did. Now, President Trump wants to extend the amount of money attached to the bill because, predictably, it turned out to not be nearly enough. They've run out. Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi saw this as an opportunity to resurrect her wish list. Since she couldn't send the list to Santa Claus, she instead insisted on the GOP compromising once again. She was told no. She was told that her list included too many items that did not really address our present crisis. In fact, they had nothing to do with it. She was instead reminded that this is a time to quickly rescue those trapped in a crucial situation, not the time to exploit a crisis by attaching nanny state agendas. She responded by allowing Congress to go into recess. But fear not. The woman has remained quite active. Only recently, she showed off her fancy ice cream freezer. Well, businesses that were keeping our economy afloat and keeping people employed are going under. Congress is on vacation. But unlike so many in America, these fine, outstanding politicians know that eventually they can go back to work at full salary. In fact, they get paid their full salary even now when they're not at work. Speaking of full salary, they get paid $174,000 a year. Boy, that's money well spent. How are they earning this money right now? What exactly are they doing in exchange for our hard-earned tax dollars? Nothing. This from the lady who talked about Trump fiddling in the midst of a crisis. Enjoy your ice cream, Ms. Pelosi. Hey, here's an idea, and I'm fully aware that this is going to be the third time today that I recommend it. Since you like ice cream so much, how about stepping down as Speaker of the House and instead taking a job at Cold Stone? Assuming they don't disappear like melted ice cream themselves, like so many other restaurant industries. If certain state governors and city mayors are going to continue ordering businesses to temporarily close, they should also order banks and landlords to temporarily stop collecting rent or mortgage. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show.
Is there really proof for the resurrection of Christ? How could a loving God send people to hell? Why does the Bible call premarital sex a sin? How will God judge the people who never heard of Jesus? These are but some of the critical concerns keeping honest seekers from considering Christianity. In an interesting, down-to-earth style, Bob Siegel tackles the hardest, most painfully honest questions. Rather than shoving these topics under the rug, Bob shows respect for his readers by providing detailed and compelling explanations. This book will be enjoyed by both skeptics and Christians. I'd like to believe in Jesus, but... Available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Fauci and Dr. Birx have signed off on Trump's plan to slowly restart the economy. It is being reported as if the country was waiting with bated breath, like Pavlov's dogs salivating in anticipation. Are we supposed to be celebrating under the assumption that we needed their permission to let people out of their homes again, to go back to work again, off to a movie or restaurant again? Look, I know the task force doctors are sincere. I know they mean well. I intend no disrespect, but frankly, I did not vote them into office in 2016. They were not elected to set national policy. If I thought this whole thing would soon be behind us without social distancing becoming a permanent part of our community apparatus and an ire-branded political talking point, I might find the new continued guidelines a bit more palatable. But the phrase is not going anywhere, mark my words. I already predicted on Facebook several weeks ago that politicians given special new powers would not give them up easily, so it has happened. You have seen one example after another in the news, all kinds of draconian examples regarding local and state policy, despite the curve already flattening. Meanwhile, Democrats, who never allow a good crisis to go to waste, are insisting that our national election be done by mail ballots. Social distancing is the stated reason. Increasing election fraud and making it easier to vote without ID is the real reason. And just watch when President Trump tries to hold a rally in a Democratic state he won this fall, or almost won last time around. I can hear them now. The Democrat governor is explaining why the rallies need to be canceled, only for safety reasons, of course, only because of social distancing. Or perhaps they will be permitted at 1/4 the size, depending on what side of the bed the governor got out of that morning. Social distancing, gotta love it. We are also hearing about possibly having to shut down again. Should the virus increase again? Oh, well, for the moment at least, things will be opening up, kind of, barely, in carefully monitored stages. Kudos to President Trump for at least doing the best he can with an impossible situation. Only time will show for sure what should have been done when, but Monday morning quarterbacks are useless. I believe he did what he thought was best every step of the way. None of us would want to be in his shoes. None of us would want to face his decisions. I appreciate that he listens to people. I can only hope that part of this new phase in will include a phasing out of national policy top heavy with medical advice. It looked as if those were his original instincts when his task force was first assembled, but in time he also felt compelled to leave no stone unturned where lives were concerned. Of parallel concern is the economy, affecting lives every bit as much, if not more, than the pandemic. Now he's giving that its due attention. Should he still continue listening to doctors? Yes. Hear them out? Sure. But let's not go crazy. Anyway, just my two cents as we look ahead, but whatever happens, I will not blame the president. He did not ask for this. He tried to warn us about this. He will continue listening to all sides and then make decisions, fully aware that nobody can predict the future. But since Trump is not the only politician running our country, let us also hope the PC narcissists in local and state government are kept in check. That has been and continues to be a real thorn in the side of a weakening republic. When all is said and done, President Trump and his task force offered guidelines. Governors and mayors around the country were offering laws by decree, and they still do. Now, last week, just toward the end of the week on Fox's The Five, right as it was announced that Trump's about to hold his press conference about opening up the economy, Juan Williams said this. I just had to write it down immediately. If we reopen too quickly, we could damage the economy. Juan, that ship has sailed. Yes, social distancing on steroids. Now if people in Michigan own two homes, they are not allowed to travel between them. The governor has also closed off parts of bigger stores such as furniture and gardening sections, only food, medicine, and other essential items. How, oh, how can one maintain safety in one section with a mask and 4 feet apart rule, but suddenly be unsafe using the exact same guidelines in other parts of the store? Well, such questions under normal conditions would be explored with logic and common sense. Unfortunately, while toilet paper may be in short supply, common sense seems to be depleted completely. My friends, if she can make only food available today, she might just tell you what kind of food you're allowed to eat tomorrow. Is ice cream essential? Candy? Oh, they haven't gotten to those yet, but while plants and furniture are non-essential, alcohol is essential, along with marijuana. Thanks for, at least for that one, Governor. How about beef? Will that be next? After all, she hails from the party which has a Haps whip, openly admitting that this current crisis is a tremendous opportunity to restructure things to fit our vision. Exact quote from Representative James Clyburn. And part of that vision is the new Green Deal. That has a spokesperson insisting that cows contribute to global warming. No, meat is not restricted today, but how many of you would have guessed all of these other draconian measures just 1 month ago? Just 2 weeks ago? 1 week ago? The goalpost again keeps moving. Absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. My friends, nobody's asking you to break the law, but don't you think it's time to at least start speaking out? If we roll over like sheep and let them force us to stay in our homes today, what will stop them from removing family members from homes tomorrow? Before you admonish me, and this goes back to my earlier discussion, some Christians, some Americans, whatever their face, they're admonishing each other to be more trusting, less overreactionary. Yeah, well, check out the words of Dr. Michael Ryan, executive director of WHO. Yeah, WHO keeps popping up. Health Emergencies Program of WHO. He said this a couple of weeks ago before WHO became such prominent news. This little gem of a speech was reported by some, ignored by most. Let me read it to you. Now, hang on. You're not going to believe this. He says, in most parts of the world, due to lockdown, most of the transmission that's actually happening in many countries now is happening in the household at family level. In some senses, transmission has been taken off the streets and pushed back into family units. Now, we need to go and look in families to find those people who may be sick and remove them and isolate them in a safe and dignified manner. Oh, well, I guess it isn't all bad. At least it will be done in a dignified manner. For a minute there, I was worried. Okay, nothing to be concerned about here. Let's go back to Netflix and enjoy our vacation. Now I have a couple of other quotes to read to you. I will evaluate the continuing need of this order prior to its expiration in determining whether to maintain, intensify, or relax restrictions. That's executive order, extending and broadening stay-at-home rules from the governor we were just talking about, the governor of Michigan, Gretchen Whitmer. Date, April 9, 2020. Next quote. It's difficult to imagine us getting together in the thousands anytime soon. I think we should be prepared for that this year. I think we all have never wanted science to work so quickly, but until there's either a vaccine, some sort of pharmaceutical intervention, or herd immunity, the science is the science. That's Los Angeles Mayor Eric Garcetti. Date, April 15th. One more. It is with great reluctance that I have agreed to this calling. I love democracy. I love the Republic. Once this crisis has abated, I will lay down the powers you have given me. That's Senator Palpatine. The date? A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. I'll see you next week.
The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.